Okay. Now we come to the real practice of breathing meditation. Page 299, method of development. So out of 16 methods, the four methods are described, have been described in detail with regard to the text. Now come the explanation for real development. So the first tetrad is set forth as a meditation subject for a beginner. That is, a beginner in shamatha meditation. But the other three tetrads are respectively set forth as the contemplations of feeling, of the manner of consciousness, and of mental objects, for one who has already attained jhana in this tetrad. So there are four methods each, and the first set is for beginners in the practice of mindfulness on breathing meditation as a tranquility meditation or serenity meditation. And the other three are they concern with the contemplation on feeling, contemplation on consciousness, and contemplation on mental objects. You know, there are four kinds of foundations of mindfulness: contemplation on body, feelings, consciousness, and mental objects, or I would prefer to call them Dhamma objects. So the first group.
Sometimes we talk about mind and objects of mind. Would objects of mind be Dharma in that?
I think that is also not so accurate. Because everything is the object of mind. The sight is the object of mind. The sound is also object of mind. But sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch are not called Dhamma objects. So if a clansman who is beginner wants to develop this meditation subject and through insight based on the fourth jhana produced in breathing to reach arahantship together with the discriminations, that means special achievements like psychic powers, reading other people's mind, and so on, he should first do all the work connected with the purification of vaju, etc. That means before practicing meditation, one must purify one's vaju, one's moral conduct, as described in the first chapter, in the way already described, after which he should learn the meditation subject in five stages from a teacher of the kind already described. So he should go to a teacher and learn the meditation subject. And there are five stages in learning. So they are learning, questioning, establishing, absorption, and characteristic. Although they are called five stages, maybe they are not real stages. Five points, or five member learning, something like that. So learning is learning the meditation subject. Questioning is questioning about the meditation subject. Establishing is establishing for meditation subject. Here, establishing really means the appearance of signs after you have practiced this meditation for some time. So we'll come to that appearance of signs later. So before practicing, one must learn what kind of signs can appear to him, or something like that. And absorption is the absorption of the meditation subject. That means getting jhana through this meditation. Sometimes the word apana in Pali means something like finishing something or culmination of something. The same word is used for jhana and also for attainment. The Pali word is appana, appana. So in Visuddhimagga, sometimes appana is used in the sense of culmination. So here,
and
then
it's the root. It's the same root from pana. It's apana. Is that the same? Except it's got the a.
This word is derived from the word ar. E-A-R. And then if suffix is put between the root and the suffix, let me know what should I call them. There are two kinds of suffixes. See, there is R and then there is na, and then a suffix meaning which has a causal meaning, that is having someone make something. So that suffix is put in between the root and the verbal suffix. So it becomes R in Sanskrit, Arpana. So R is changed to P in Pali, and so we have the word Arpana.
So
that is sending to the finish or bringing to finish, Arpana. So the word can mean just reaching the height, the expected stage or jhana. So here absorption is the absorption of meditation subject means getting to the end of meditation, that is attainment of jhana, because this meditation is here described as a serenity meditation, which the object of which is attainment of jhanas. Characteristic is the characteristic of the meditation subject. What is meant is that it is the ascertaining of the meditation subject's individual essence, that this meditation subject has such a characteristic. Learning the meditation subject in the five stages in this way, he neither tires himself nor worries the teacher. So, then, so in giving this meditation subject consisting in mindfulness of breathing attention, he can live either with the teacher or elsewhere in an abode of the kind already described. So he may live with the teacher in the same place and the same monastery, or he may live away from his teacher. Learning the meditation subject in five stages, thus getting a little expounded at a time and taking a long time over reciting it, he should sever the minor impediments. After finishing the work connected with the meal and getting rid of any dizziness due to the meal, he should seat himself comfortably. That is why in Burma, most monks take rest after forenoon meal. So they take rest for about an hour, especially older monks. And that is getting rid of dizziness due to meal. So when your stomach is full, you want to, you feel sleepy. So to get rid of that sleepiness, you rest for a while. So after resting for a while, seat himself comfortably, then making sure he is not confused about even a single word of what he has learned from the teacher, he should cheer his mind by recollecting the special qualities of the three jewels. That is just preparing to go to the real practice of mindfulness of breathing. And then there are seven stages described here in the practice of breathing meditation. And in the at the first glance, we might expect that these stages are to be practiced one after the other. But it is not so, and we will find out later. So there may be a little confusion here. The first is what? Counting. So when we practice breathing meditation, the first thing we do is to count. And when you do counting, he should not stop short of 5 or go beyond 10 or make any break in the series. So counting should be at least 5 and at most 10. And then there should be no break in the series. By stopping short of 5, his thoughts get excited in the cramped space, like a herd of cattle shut in a cramped pen. It's too little. So you say in one, out one, in two, out two, again in one, out one, in two, out two. By going beyond 10, his thoughts take the number rather than the breadth for their support. That means you are concerned about numbers. So in one, out one, in two, out two, until maybe in 100, out 100. And so numbers became the object of meditation rather than the breadth. By making a break in the series, he wonders if the meditation subject has reached completion or not. Now, by making a break in the series, the sub-commentary explained that that is counting 1, 3, 5, 7, and so on. It may be like in one, out one, and then you do not count the second pair, and the third one, in three, out three, and then you let go of the next pair, and then in five, out five, and so on. And that is making a break in the series. So if you make a break in the series, you will wonder if the meditation subject has reached on completion or not. You have already come to the end of your counting. One teacher of old in Burma explained it in another way, and that is you count for some time and then keep up counting for some time and then picking it up again and then giving it up again and so on. That is what is meant by break in the series. So you may count in one, out one, in two, out three, in four, out four, and then you stop counting. And then again, you begin counting in one, out one, in two, out two, and so on. So that will make you confused about the series of counting. So counting should not be under or below 5 and above 10, and there should be no break in the middle, something like that. So he should do his counting without those faults. And when counting, he should at first do it slowly. That is late. I don't know where he got this word late. It's put in these square brackets, and so supposed to be from the sub-commentary, but I didn't find the word for late in the sub-commentary. So maybe it is Nyanamoli's addition.
It could mean slowly and late in the sense of you're slightly behind the count or you're slightly anticipating the count. But sometimes people do that, they start getting into the counting rather than the breath.
Mm-hmm. I think so, just slowly makes sense here,
yeah.
Rather than the word late, because here is shown the crane measurer's counting. So when a crane measurer, having filled his measure, says one and empties it and then refilling it, he goes on saying one, one, one. There may be some rubbish or something and he have to pick it up and throw it away. And by so doing, he may be saying one, one, one until he reaches the second one. And the same with two, two, and so on. So after counting two, if he had to do something, then he may be saying two, 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 until he comes to the third. So taking the in-breath or the out-breath, whichever appears most plainly, he should begin with one, one, and count up to ten, ten, noting each as it occurs. So the counting should be done like in one, out one, in two, out two, in three, out three, and so on. As he does his counting in this way, the in-breaths and out-breaths became evident to him as they enter in and issue out. So when they go in and come out, they become evident, they become clearer. Then he can leave off counting slowly, like a grain measurer, and he can count quickly, like a cowherd does. For his skilled cowherd takes pebbles in his pocket and goes to the cow pen in the morning, whip in hand, and so on. So here, what do you think the counting of a cowherd here?
Uh,
I think it is when you pay attention to the breath. In the beginning, the breath seemed to be only one. You say in, out, in, out. It seemed to be only one breath. But when you have practiced for some time, one breath may appear to you as a series of short breaths, because actually one breath is a combination of different small breaths. So you may notice that there are many breaths in what is formerly known as one breath. And so you may count at one in breath, you may count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or something like that. I think that is what is meant here. Otherwise, the simile of a cowherd counting cows that go out of the pen at the gate in groups, say two at a time, three at a time, and he may say 3, 4. But breathing do not go or come in or come in or go out in the exactly the same way as the cows do. So what is meant here is, I think, during one breath, formerly it was one breath, but now it appears to you as many breaths. So you may count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And going out also 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he counts quickly 3, 4, 5 and so up to 10. In this way, the in-breaths and out-breaths, which had already become evident to him while he counted them, in the former way, now keep moving along quickly. Now, in the former way, is explained in the sub-commentary as in the quick way, but that is not... that is not correct, I think. In another commentary, it is explained that it means the slow way. So in the former way means in the slow way, counting like a grain measurer does. Then knowing that they keep moving along quickly, not apprehending them either inside or outside the body, but apprehending them just as they reach the nostril door. So that is important. You do not go into the body or outside the body with the breath. But apprehend them just as they reach the nostril door here. He can do this counting quickly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, here also, one may think that it means you count from 1 to 5, the next time 1 to 6, next time 1 to 7, and so on. But I don't think that is the case here. You may count one breath as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. As many as you can be aware of. So for as long as the meditation subject is connected with counting, it is with the help of that very counting that the mind becomes unified. So counting is just to keep your mind on the breath and to make it one-pointed or unified, just as a boat in a swift current is steadied with the help of a rudder or with the help of a pole. When he counts quickly, the meditation subject becomes apparent to him as an uninterrupted process. Now, at this stage, the meditator has not reached the jhana stage. So before reaching the jhana stage, there are interruptions. Interruptions are unavoidable because speaking according to Abhidhamma, one thought process is followed by some moments of life continuum, bhavanga, and then there is another thought process. So thought processes arise and disappear in quick succession, but they are buffered by the arisings of bhavanga or life continuum. So it cannot be called uninterrupted. So it can be uninterrupted only during the period of jhana attainment. That is why it is a, as an uninterrupted process, as though it is uninterrupted. So it is very close to that stage, uninterrupted stage. Then knowing that it is proceeding uninterruptedly, he can count quickly in the way just described, not discerning the wind either inside or outside the body. No, for by bringing his consciousness inside along with the incoming breath, it seems as if it were buffeted by the wind inside or filled with fat. That means his body appeared to be swelling or something like that. By taking his consciousness outside along with the outgoing breath, it gets distracted by the multiplicity of objects outside. That is why we have to keep the mind at the entrance of the nostrils and not let it go into the body or outside the body. However, his development is successful when he fixes his mindfulness on the place touched by the breath, that means at the tip of the nose or on the upper lip. That is why it was said above, he can count quickly in the way just described, not discerning the wind either inside or outside. Now, strictly speaking, in-breath and out-breath are said to be caused by mind. In-breath and out-breath are air or air element, and they are caused by air element is caused by karma, caused by citta or mind, caused by climate or heat and cold, and caused by food. Now, the breath is said to be caused by mind, so mind generated. And mind generated material properties can be found or can exist only in the inside the body and not outside. So here's the breath. Now, when you exhale, you may feel that the air goes out of the nose outside the body. So as soon as it reaches outside the body, it becomes generated by climate and not generated by mind. So in order to watch breathing in and breathing out closely, and our mind has to be here at the tip of the nose or at the entrance of the nostrils when they are really mind generated. After the out-breath leaves the tip of the nose, then it becomes generated by climate or temperature. So that is why the attention has to be at the tip of the nose. But how long is he to go on counting? Say, a monk is practicing counting in one out, one in, two out, two, and so on. Until, without counting, mindfulness remains settled on the in-breath and out-breath as its object. So, until he can concentrate on breathing only without counting. For counting is simply a device for settling mindfulness on the in-breath and out-breath as object by cutting off the external dissipation of applied thoughts. That is vitaka. I mean, initial application. Initial application or applied thought has a tendency to take minds out. So, in order to cut the distractions by applied thought, one has to keep the mind on the breath, on the object. So this is the first stage. So the first stage, you do counting. And you do this counting until you can concentrate fully on the breath without counting. It may take days, weeks, or maybe months.
Or longer.
Now, second one. Second one is called connection. But I think connection is not so accurate. It is following, but that also, the Pali word means following, but that is also a little misleading, because following does not mean to follow the breath into the body or outside the body, but just to be mindful of the breath. But it is called following in Pali. So connection is the uninterrupted following of the in-breath and out-breath with mindfulness after counting has been given up. So when you can be on the breath without counting, you give up counting. And from that moment, you begin the second stage, connection or following. And that is not by following after the beginning, the middle, and the end, but just by repeatedly keeping your attention or your mindfulness on the breath at the entrance of the nostrils. Now, the navel is the beginning of the wind issuing out, the heart is its middle, and the nose tip is its end. So, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the out-breath and in-breath are described here. So, for the out-breath, navel is the beginning, the heart or the breast is the middle, and the tip of the nose is the end. The nose tip is the beginning of the wind entering in. The heart is its middle and the navel is its end. And if he follows after that, his mind is distracted by disquiet and perturbation according as it is said. So this is the quotation from Patisambhita Magga. And this quotation is important because it, with the help of this quotation, we decide which is meant by Assasa in Pali and Passasa. Last week we found that the Pali word Assasa and Passasa are interpreted differently by different commentators. So here is the quotation from a book by the Venerable Sariputta. So it is as authoritative as the words of the Buddha. So here we find that when he goes in with mindfulness after the beginning, middle, and end of the in-breath, his mind being distracted internally. So this word internally shows that the word used here means in-breath and not out-breath. So it is correctly translated here. There is no problem here. But if you read the Pali, then you may be doubtful whether the word asasa means the in-breath or the out-breath. But when you read this passage, you come to the conclusion that it must mean, and the asasa must mean in-breath, because it says, after the beginning, middle, and end of the, his mind being distracted internally. So when you see the word internally, the A must mean in-breath, and it cannot mean out-breath. So this is a quotation. Now 3 and 4. Actually not with 3 and 4, but here comes the overlapping or combination of two or three stages at the same moment. So when he gives his attention to it by connection, he should do so not by the beginning, middle, and end. That means not by following after the beginning, middle, and end, but rather by touching and fixing. There is no attention to be given to it by touching separate from fixing, as there is by counting separate from connection. So when we do counting and connection, there are two separate attentions, attention to counting and attention to the breath. But with regard to touching and fixing, there are no separate attention from, say, counting and from connection. But when he is counting the breath in the place touched by each, He is giving attention to them by counting and touching. So when you are counting, you are doing two stages at the same time, counting and touching. Touching here means keeping your mind at the place where the breath touches, where you feel the breath. When he has given up counting and is connecting them by means of mindfulness in that same place and fixing consciousness by means of absorption, then he is said to be giving his attention to them by connection, touching and fixing. So you give up counting and then you just be mindful of the breath as they come and go. And so at that moment there can be connection and touching. And when you reach the stage of neighborhood concentration and jhana concentration, then you may be doing three at the same time, connection, touching and fixing. So these two stages are not to be separated from counting and connection. And the meaning of this may be understood through the similes of the man who cannot walk and the gatekeeper given in the commentaries, and through the simile of the saw given in the Patisambhira. And the simile of the man who cannot walk. He is, what do you call that? Rocking a swing for amusement of his children and their mother, sits at the foot of the swing post and sees both ends and the middle of the swing plank successively coming and going, yet does not move from his place in order to see both ends and the middle. So do when a bhikkhu places himself with mindfulness, as it were, at the foot of the post for anchoring mindfulness, and rocks the swing of the in-breath and out-breath, he sits down with mindfulness on the sign at the same place and follows with mindfulness the beginning, middle and end of the breath and in-breath and out-breath at the place touched by them as they come and go. Keeping his mind fixed there, he then sees them without moving from his place in order to see them. This is a simile, the man who cannot walk. That is, he is aware of the beginning, middle and end of the in-breath and out-breath, but his attention is on the breath and not on the beginning, middle and end. He cannot avoid being aware of beginning, middle and end, but he does not pay attention to them. The next simile is the same. The gatekeeper. The gatekeeper is interested in people, or only in people who are at the gate and not who have gone inside the city or who have gone outside the city. So he's interested only in those people who are at the gate. So in the same way, the incoming breaths that have gone inside and the outgoing breaths that have gone outside are not this bhikkhu's concern, but they are his concern each time they arrive at the nostril gate itself. So only when they reach the nostril gate do they become the object of his mindfulness. So this is the simile of gatekeeper. And then the quotation. And the next is the simile of the saw. So it is more evident in this simile that he pays attention to, or he keeps his attention at the entrance of the nostrils and pay attention to the breath only when they reach that place, that entrance. Not going with the breath into the body or outside the body. So about the middle of the paragraph, as the man's mindfulness established by the saw's teeth where they touch the tree trunk without his giving attention to the saw's teeth, as they approach and recede, actually that means saw's teeth that have come and that have gone. That is not at the point when they touch the where they touch the lock, but gone this way or that way. That is what is meant. Not that as they approach and recede, but saw's teeth that have come. I mean, that is not at the point of touching the lock, or that have gone the other way. Though they are not unknown to him as they do so, and so he manifests effort, carries out a task and achieves an effort. So too the bhikkhu sits, having established mindfulness at the nose tip or the upper lip, without giving attention to the in-breath and out-breaths that have come and gone, not that as they approach and recede, because he must pay attention as they approach and recede, as they come and go. But he is not to pay attention to those that have gone into the body or gone out of the body. Though they are not unknown to him as they do so. That is, though he is not unaware of them as they do so, and he manifests effort, carries out a task and achieves an effort. And then the explanation of effort and so on. They are used in a different sense here. Effort really is what? The body and the mind of one who is energetic become wieldy. This is the effort. So the body and mind become wieldy is said to be effort here. What is the task? Imperfections come to be abandoned in one who is energetic and his applied thoughts are stilled. That is the task. What is the effect? It's a result. Fetters come to be abandoned in one who is energetic and his inherent tendencies come to be done away with. This is the effect. So these three things are not the object of a single consciousness and they are nevertheless not unknown and the mind does not become distracted and he manifests effort, carries out a task and achieves an effect. So this is a simile of the soul. That is why when we practice mindfulness meditation, we use this method also in vipassana meditation. So even when you practice vipassana meditation, you try to keep the mind at the entrance of the nostrils and try to see or try to be mindful of the in-breath and breaths going in and coming out. Now, after someone has given his attention to counting, then just as when a body that is disturbed sits down on a better chair and so on. So after some, at the beginning, the body is not yet settled and not yet cooled down, and so you move a lot, and there is squeaking of the bed or chair and so on. But when your mind gets stilled, then your body also gets stilled, and your breaths become subtle. And then both the body and the mind become light. The physical body is as though it were ready to leap up into the air. So you feel very lightness in the body. When his gross in-breath and out-breath have ceased, his consciousness occurs with the sign of the subtle in-breath and out-breath as its object. So the breath becomes subtle, and so they become the object of his meditation. And when that has ceased, it goes on occurring with the successively subtler signs as its object. So the breaths become more and more subtle as he made progress in his mindfulness of breathing meditation. Paragraph 208. Now, the breathing as object of meditation is different from the other objects of meditation. For the other objects of meditation, or as is said here, the other meditation subjects become clearer at each higher stage. So, suppose when you practice the kasina meditation, the sign of kasina becomes clearer and clearer as you make progress. But the breath becomes less clear when you make progress. It becomes subtle and it is more difficult to see. So it becomes more subtle for him at each higher stage, and it even comes to the point at which it is no longer manifest. The breath is there, but it's so subtle that you are not aware of the breath. You may even think that you have stopped breathing altogether, or you may even have died. So whenever, when it becomes unmanifest in this way, he should not get up from his seat, shake out his leather mat and go away. Saying, I have lost my object of meditation. He must not do that. So what should be done? He should not get up with the idea, shall I ask the teacher? That means I will ask the teacher. Oh, my meditation subject is lost. For by going away and so disturbing his posture, the meditation subject has to be started anew. So by changing postures, meditation becomes anew. That is why we try to instruct meditators to keep still as much as they can, not to make many movements or not to make movements too often. Because when you make movements, and you have to be mindful of these movements, and it is, although it can be done with mindfulness, it is still a distraction from the main object. So it is better to keep still as much as and as long as you can. So he should go on sitting as he was and temporarily substitute the place. That means he should not get up, but he should go on sitting and keeping his mind at the place. Now at this moment, the breath has become so subtle that he is not aware of the breath. Let us say he has lost the breath. But he must catch the breath at the place where formerly he caught them. He caught the breath. So instead of leaving the place, you stay stuck to the place and let the breath become clear again. So that is what is meant here. There are means for doing it. So when you have lost the breath, when you think you have lost the breath, then there are some ways to do. And here, where do these in-breaths and out-breaths exist? Where do they not? That means, in whom do these in-breaths and out-breaths exist, and in whom they do not exist? In whom do they exist, in whom not? Then, as he considers thus, he finds that they do not exist in one inside the mother's womb. Now this is what is believed in those days. So there are seven kinds of people who do not breathe. The one, the child in the mother's womb. Then next one, in those drowned in water, those who have drowned. Or likewise in unconscious beings, those who become unconscious. Or it can mean those who are reborn as mindless beings. So it can mean both. It is explained in both ways in the sub-commentary. And then in the dead men don't breathe. Or in those attained to the fourth jhana. So when a person has attained to fourth jhana, there is no breathing. And in those born into a fine material or immaterial existence. To those who are reborn as brahmas, they do not. So the brahmas do not breathe. Or in those attained to cessation of perception and feeling. That there is a attainment called attainment of cessation. That means cessation of mind. So during that attainment, the mental activities temporarily stop or they are suspended as long as the person wishes. It may be 1 day, 2 days, or at most 7 days. So there are these seven kinds of beings who have no breath. So he should review this. So he should apostrophize himself thus. You with all your wisdom are suddenly not inside your mother's womb or drowned in a river and so on. So you are not any one of those seven persons. So there must be breath. You are not without breath. Those in-breaths and out-breaths are actually existent in you. Only you are not able to discern them because your understanding is dark. Actually, it is sharp at that time, but since you cannot be aware of the breath, you are wisdom or panya, understanding is said to be dull at that moment, then fixing his mind on the place normally touched by the breath, he should proceed to give his attention to there. So when you have lost the breath, you go to the same place where you caught them before and try to wait for them there. Those interest and outrest organs striking the tip of the nose in a long-nosed man. So if you have a long nose, then it strikes the tip of the nose. And if you have a short nose, the upper lip in a short-nosed man. So he should fix the sign thus. This is the place where they strike. This was why the Blessed One said, because I do not see of one who is forgetful, who is not fully aware that he practices development of mindfulness of breathing meditation. That means, if you are forgetful, if you do not have good mindfulness, you cannot practice mindfulness of breathing meditation. And you have to be, your understanding has to be sharp.